Blog Talk Radio.
You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam show. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to have some fun on Tuesday night. Crave Wrestling presents Pancakes and Power Slams episode 96. Ladies and gentlemen, 96 episodes strong. Crave Wrestling, Pancakes and Power Slams, the Tuesday night spot for pro wrestling. It is the funnest, most trivia heavy show that you can have on Tuesday nights. We are it. We are here, and we're going to have some fun. We got so much to cover, of course. If you've seen the past week of wrestling, you know that there's a lot to talk about, so we're going to talk about it, Royal Rumble, Raw, and the rest of the week of wrestling. And this week's Flavor of the Week, just like we did with the Royal Rumble series, we started back in the very first Royal Rumble, 1988, until last week. We did the last Royal Rumble before this one, 2013. We went all the way from 88 to 2013. And a series of weeks, we talked about every single Royal Rumble. So now we're on the road to WrestleMania. And in the next series of weeks, heading into WrestleMania 30, we're going to talk about each and every WrestleMania. We're going to have some fun, tons of fun talking about WrestleMania. This week, we're going to go all the way back to 1985 and 1986, and we're going to talk about WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 2. So, of course, there's so much talk about, and stay tuned on Pancakes and Power Slams. If you want to get your refresh of WrestleMania all the way from day one, WrestleMania 1, Pancakes and Power Slams is the show to listen to. Pancakes and Power Slams is the place to park as we talk about the entire WrestleMania series in the coming weeks. This week, WrestleMania 1 and 2, and I am pleased, as always, to be accompanied by the Pancakes and Power Slams co-host, Derek. Good evening, sir.
Yes, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
In my ear, great. Hey, we're going to go over the early WrestleManias. That's going to be exciting. This was an awesome week for professional wrestling. Whether you like the Royal Rumble or not, thought it was mediocre, thought it was okay. But, hey, this is Pancakes and Power Slams. We are the new Tuesday Night Titans. We are professional wrestling awesome. This is Tuesday night. This is Pancakes and Power Slams. We never have enough time to cover everything and tell everybody what they should know about professional wrestling and what they should think, because that's what we're here for, right?
Absolutely. We cram what we can in 90 minutes. And
cram what we can. That's what we do.
Yes, we cram what we can in 90 minutes. I like that Tuesday Night Titans reference back in the day. I remember when JYD and Jake the Snake Roberts, those were memorable Tuesday Night Titans guests, and then who was the co-host of – who was the host and the co-host of Tuesday Night Titans?
Gorilla Monsoon and – no, wait. I'm thinking of primetime. It was Vince McMahon and Jesse the Body Ventura.
No.
I was
Vince
close.
Vince McMahon and
Gorilla
Lord
Monsoon.
Alfred Hayes.
Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yeah,
oh.
Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, but he was it's so funny to think about old school wrestling and think that one of the main commentators' name was Lord Alfred Hayes. That's so funny. And his accent and just it was hilarious. Just
five
I haven't really
British
yeah, 20 years later, I haven't really made an – well, it's 25 years later, I haven't really made an accurate assessment of what I think of Lord Alfred Hayes as far as his commentating is concerned. I think I got to look at some – I think I got to refresh my memory and look at some old WWE episodes, primetime, superstars, whatever, and make an assessment.
WrestleMania
1. Back then – I remember
WrestleMania
back then.
1.
I remember back then.
He interviewed everybody.
He did. He sure did. That is very accurate. Lord Alfred
Brutus
Hayes
the Baba Beefcake. Brutus the Baba Beefcake. What are you going to do against David Sammartino?
Yes, Brutus the Barber Beefcake against David Sammartino. The heel. Brutus the Barber Beefcake. We didn't see Brutus Beefcake as a heel for very long, but he was a heel back in 1985. And so I'm excited to talk about WrestleMania 1 and 2. We're going to talk about the Royal Rumble first. But as always, we are going to go into some trivia. The first trivia question is, before Biggie Langston, who popularized the five count? Of course, Crave Wrestling. Twitter page at Crave Wrestling. Of course, the chat room. Feel free to dig in the chat room, and you know definitely be here we go. There's the chat room already. King Kong Bundy is the correct answer. Great job so far. Looks like we're going to have some fun in the chat room. Log in live into the chat room. And tweet live at Crave Wrestling, and we're just going to continue to have so much fun. All right, let's get into the Royal Rumble without further ado. The pre-show saw the New Age Outlaws defeat the Brotherhood to become the new tag team champions. I had a feeling that it was going to be either Royal Rumble or the Elimination Chamber. I predicted the Elimination Chamber. I predicted the Brotherhood to win this match because I thought that the setup was going to be at Elimination Chamber, but they lost clean to have such an amazing build last year, only to lose 3 months later against older New Age Outlaws that has not been together in almost 15 years. What in the world? I mean, I understand that the New Age Outlaws is, you know, they're giving us their last hurrah as a tag team, but come on now. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of this decision. I wish that it would have led to something more than just a clean win. But that was it. It was a clean win. You built all this momentum for the Rhodes Brothers, one of the hottest tag teams in the entire division, one of the teams that revived the tag team division, only to lose 3 months later against a fairly washed-up New Age Outlaws. I mean, they still got it, you know, in a way. But for them to win the tag team titles, I don't think I'm on board with this.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's great to see the New Age Outlaws come back because it's a soft spot for old wrestling fans like myself. But the same thing with Goldust, seeing Goldust there. It did not make sense. They put so much hype and momentum behind Team Rhodes, And just to have the New Age Outlaws come in, being around for 3 weeks, just kind of take it from – yeah, I don't agree with it. And especially if the New Age Outlaws, what's their angle going on with Triple H and everything going forward? I mean, they had – they were in the Royal Rumble match as well. But, yeah, it was a bit of a – yeah, why? Where are you going with this? And what are you going to do with it once you get there?
Yeah, I totally agree. We'll see what happens with that. And then we get Bray Wyatt defeating Daniel Bryan. First of all, let me start with this. I'll say the good first. The good was this was a phenomenal match. I was totally supportive. I was totally stoked about this match as far as the actual match is concerned. I really didn't care about the build that much. The match didn't really spark me much, but the delivery at the Royal Rumble, this clearly was an early match of the year candidate. Very, very, very good chemistry between the two. Very, very good match. I didn't like the fact that Daniel Bryan lost clean. I think that dampers some momentum that he has. I don't think that was a good idea at all. I wish that it was a screwy finish. I wish that somehow Rowan and Harper distracted him and something happened, or Rowan distracted him and somehow Luke Harper, you know, assisted Bray Wyatt. I wish that would have happened. By Daniel Bryan losing clean and him being clearly the most popular WWE superstar in a number of years, I understand that they were building it for what happened later in the show with the John Cena and Randy Orton match, but to have Daniel Bryan lose clean, I don't think that was a good idea.
No, it wasn't a good idea. And again, they're hindering Daniel Bryan. They've been doing that for so long. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to prove a point in the long run that, you know, we keep pushing this guy down, that he's going to keep building and building. I mean, it is kind of getting boring. Let's do something with the guy that's worthwhile. That was a phenomenal match. I totally agree with that. And what happened at the end of the Rumble with Bray and Cena. But, yeah, they don't know how to build something to make it the way it should be. They throw something together and, you know, what are they going to do next? That's all to think about. What's next? It was a good match, but I'm with you on that much.
Yeah, totally. Next trivia question. Who was known as the Ugandan Giant? Who was known as the Ugandan Giant? I am looking forward to see who tweets or says this in the chat room. The Ugandan Giant was known as who? Next question. Oh, look at the chat room with their speed. Kamala, absolutely. And to one up the chat room, who was Kamala's manager's name? Who was Kamala's manager's name? And if you really want to be one upped, who was underneath the who was underneath the mask? Of course, I'm gonna say not yet, not the correct answer yet. So we'll see as far as the correct answer is concerned. But at the same time, nobody knows it yet, and I'll reveal it if it's not said in time. I did give you a hint. He was under a mask. So, and who was underneath that mask is for the big trivia heads. So the next match was Brock Lesnar defeating the Big Show. Now, I do like how – I tweeted this during the Royal Rumble. I do like how they build this. I like how they book this match. Now, it wasn't a wrestling match in the slightest. Brock Lesnar got an early advantage. He beat Big Show up with a chair. And it made him look good because, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that whoever he wrestles at WrestleMania 30, he's going to put over. So who, you know, there's rumors awry. The Undertaker is probably the biggest talked about opponent for Brock Lesnar at this point. But whoever it is, he's going to put over at WrestleMania. So Big Show was a good stepping stone to lead to WrestleMania to make him look more dominant. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with what they did with him and the Big Show, because it didn't make the Big Show look horrible. It kind of made him look like Lesnar caught him off guard, which was a good thing. And so I'm okay with the way they booked it. It's just that the post-match beatdown with the chair, that really made Big Show look bad. But the greater emphasis was to make Brock Lesnar look good, and I think that they did that.
I hated it. I didn't like how they did that to the Big Show. I mean, it's so – I want to believe that the Big Show is this massive Goliath. And, yeah, I knew that the Big Show wasn't going to win the match. I wanted something more from the Big Show. I know they're building Brock Lesnar to be this ginormous beast, whatever he is, freak. But the Big Show, come on. I mean, they make him cry. They could have done the same thing if they would let the Big Show have his way for at least 10 minutes. And, yeah, the beating him with the chairs afterwards is put icing on the cake. And it's just, they might as well just get rid of the Big Show. He's good for nothing now. He's not believable. He's in the same boat as Rey Mysterio. And that's too bad to say that. I hate to say that, but that's my feelings now after seeing that atrocious beatdown. What's going to come next for the Big Show? He's going to go up against, you know, The Rock or Undertaker, and that's going to be believable? No, Big Show has nothing else to do. He's done. But good thing for Brock Lesnar, they did push him to make him whatever he's going to face at the WrestleMania. And so they succeeded at that, but I think they kind of put the last nail in the coffin for somebody that's done a lot of good work for him.
Wow, Big Show compared to Rey Mysterio. In some odd way, I can see the resemblance, oddly enough. So I'm going to go to the next trivia question, but it looks like no one has got the correct answer as far as who managed Kamala. Come on, guys. Kim Chi managed Kamala.
Come on, guys.
Kamala
and they didn't know that. What a bunch of whatever.
They didn't know Kim Chi, but and the who was under Kim Chi was Steve Lombardi, the Brooklyn Brawler.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting little fact there.
Who did the Brooklyn Brawler defeat on Raw? He defeated one person on
Triple
Raw
H.
back in 2000 and. Hey, all right, chat room gets it right. All right, yeah. Okay.
I guess I get no credit for saying that. She beat Triple H.
Oh, did you say it first? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I was.
Yeah, you heard me. One of the biggest Raw upsets in history, actually, when the Brooklyn Brawler beat Triple H. That was very funny, actually. The next match in the Royal Rumble was Randy Orton defeating John Cena. Now, I will say this. A lot of people didn't really like this match, but maybe because my expectations were so low on this match, I actually thought it was a decent match. They used each other's finishers a lot, and I think that that's good. I think that's good writing when they do that. Randy Orton did the STF, and he also did the AA, and then John Cena did the RKO, and I'm okay with that. That was a good twist. That was a good flair to the match. It reminds me of one my favorite triple threat match of all time, which was The Undertaker versus The Rock versus Kurt Angle at Vengeance 2002. That was my favorite triple threat match. And what made it so amazing to me is that they all used each other's finishing moves. And I think it's a nice twist to a match when people do that. It's good writing. And they did that. So, you know, I honestly can't sit here and complain and say it was a bad match, because it just It wasn't a bad match to me. But at the end, I was expecting that too, because there's been rumors flying around that Bray Wyatt was supposed to face John Cena at WrestleMania 30. Now, that makes me puzzled too, because John Cena is clearly the face of the WWE, the poster boy. Now, people know that I'm no John Cena fan by any stretch, but he's money. I mean, money is money. You got to call a spade here. John Cena's money. And to not have him, even if he doesn't headline for the title, not being some big marquee match, because to me, Bray Wyatt is by no means a marquee match whatsoever. And John Cena versus Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania, I'll definitely pass on that.
Yeah, that would be a horrible – you could not build a WrestleMania around that match. There's no way. No way. I mean, John Cena couldn't even save that match. I mean, if it was Undertaker versus Bray, there's no way you could sell that around a WrestleMania, so it's unbelievable. It's ridiculous. What's going to come out of it, who knows? It was a good match. I'll give you that much. I'm not a Randy Orton fan by any stretch. I'm not a John Cena fan. Just because I'm too bold and proud of my Attitude Era ways to say that I'm a John Cena fan, but John Cena, he's going to sell, but he's got to have the right opponent. And so far, Bray Wyatt will not cut it. This is going to probably be done by the end of mid-March with him and Bray Wyatt, if it even goes that long.
I don't know, man. There's been talks. There's been strong talks that
anything can happen in world wrestling entertainment.
That's true. That's true. But I don't know, man. It looks like they're going to actually do Cena and Wyatt at WrestleMania. That's going to be absolutely horrible. But what's so interesting about that is that John Cena is going to be in the Elimination Chamber match, and we'll get to that, as far as the four members of the Elimination Chamber that we know so far based on what we saw on Raw. But it just really seems that Bray Wyatt, I mean, Bray Wyatt didn't even cut a promo on Raw of why he did what he did. It's just a really odd feud, and I'm really not buying it whatsoever. And then we get the Royal Rumble match. First, we have CM Punk. I have the full 30, and I'll go through the entire 30 here. CM Punk, Seth Rollins. CM Punk was eliminated at number 27 by Kane. Seth Rollins was eliminated number 25 by Roman Reigns. Damian Sandow was the number one elimination. He was number three entry, number one elimination by CM Punk. Cody Rhodes was number four. He got eliminated at number 11 by Goldust. Goldust got some retribution because Cody Rhodes eliminated Goldust in two previous WrestleManias. Number five was Kane. He got eliminated at number two. He was the second person eliminated by CM Punk. Looks like they're going to continue that feud. Alexander Rusev from NXT. How about that? He was the third person eliminated. He got eliminated by multiple people. And Jack Swagger was number seven. He got eliminated. He was the sixth person eliminated by Kevin Nash. We'll get to that. Kingston was number eight. We'll get to that in a minute. Kofi Kingston was number eight. He got eliminated at seventh by Roman Reigns. I was waiting for the big WrestleMania. I was waiting for the big Royal Rumble spot. I call him the new John Morrison because for a few years, John Morrison was known as having, acrobatic Royal Rumble spots, and now Kofi Kingston's that guy. It was creative. It could have went really bad. He could have slipped and fell and not have landed properly and been eliminated earlier. So it was impressive. Jimmy Uso was eliminated by Dean Ambrose at number five. Goldust was eliminated by Roman Reigns, number 12. Dean Ambrose was 11th entrant. He got eliminated at 26 by Roman Reigns. Dolph Ziggler was number 12. He got eliminated at number 8, also by Roman Reigns. R-Truth was number 13. He got eliminated at number 4. He was the fourth person eliminated by Dean Ambrose. Kevin Nash was 14th. He was the ninth person eliminated.
Was cool. I like to see Kevin Nash. It was fun. Yeah, come on. Give me a break.
No. Totally no. Absolutely not. I'll say more of what I thought about that after I go through the list here. Roman Reigns. He was eliminated by Roman Reigns at number 9. Roman Reigns was number 15th. He was the second. He was the runner-up. Got eliminated by the winner. We'll get to that later. Great Khali was number 16. He got eliminated by number. He was the 10th person eliminated by the Shield. Sheamus was 17. Returned. He was the 28th person eliminated by Roman Reigns. Miz was 18th spot. Eliminated at number 16 by Luke Harper. Fandango, number 19.
Yeah.
Your boy got eliminated by El Torito.
No, that didn't count. That was stupid. Whatever. I want to hear about it.
El Torito was number 20.
El Dorito.
By the way. El Torito. El Torito was number 20 and got eliminated at 14 by Roman Reigns. Antonio Cesaro was number 21. He was the 24th person eliminated, also by Roman Reigns. Luke Harper was 22. He got eliminated at number 23 by Roman Reigns. Jey Uso was number 23, and he was the 17th person eliminated by Luke Harper. JBL, I'll get to that in a minute, was number 24, and he was the 15th person eliminated by Roman Reigns. Eric Rowan was the 25th entrant, the 18th person eliminated by Batista. Ryback was 26th, the 19th person eliminated by Batista. Alberto Del Rio was number 27th, and he was the 20th person eliminated, and he was eliminated by Batista. Number 28 was Batista. Number 29 was Biggie Langston. He was the 21st person eliminated by Sheamus. And number 30 was Rey Mysterio, who was the 22nd person eliminated by Seth Rollins. He came to a chorus of boos because the Pittsburgh crowd wanted Daniel Bryan, and they didn't get him because Rey Mysterio came out number 30. Deflated all types of anticipation for Daniel Bryan. He was not in the Royal Rumble, despite a very,
Rey Mysterio,
Yeah, pretty much. He was just Rey Mysterio was a heel in the Royal Rumble because they just did not. Him coming out as 30 was just, that was a really, that was a punishment for Rey Mysterio. And as far as the Pittsburgh crowd is concerned, I was very surprised that they, I mean, I knew that he was going to be in the Royal Rumble, but I didn't think, it just slipped my mind that he was left, and just that number 30 spot was brutal. Whoever had it just would have been booed heavily. Rey Mysterio just so happened to be that person. As far as returns are concerned, JBL's retirement to be in the Royal Rumble for less than a minute, that was absolutely horrible. El Torito in the Royal Rumble, such a ridiculous decision. You couldn't have any person come back, any legend come back and be in the Royal Rumble, but instead you have JBL and El Torito in the Royal Rumble. That was just absolutely horrible. I'm okay with Alexander Rusev being the Royal Rumble NXT. Kudos to NXT. NXT is a very good show. Kevin Nash in the Royal Rumble, no. He was in the Royal Rumble a few years ago, so as a surprise entrant. And I'm just not buying. I just wasn't interested at all. I was okay with Sheamus coming back in the Royal Rumble. There was many talks that Sheamus would have come back in the Royal Rumble. Two people that I'm very surprised that I didn't see in the Royal Rumble. Actually, I'm mildly surprised that I didn't see Chris Jericho, because there was rumor spread, there was big talks that Chris Jericho was going to be a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble. I was, you know, me being a huge Jericho fan, that would have been fantastic to me. He didn't come. It was a bit of a sad moment. But I'm also surprised that we didn't see. I'm better now.
Cheer up.
But I'm
Chris
also surprised
Jericho
that we didn't
is
see.
Actually, he is going to be on Rock on the Range in Columbus, Ohio with his band Fozzy. May 19th. I just had to throw that out there. A plug for Chris Jericho. He is going to be at Rockin' the Range, and I believe it's Columbus, Ohio. May 19th with his heavy metal band. So good for Chris Jericho.
For all you people who live in Columbus, Ohio, there's your cheap plug right there.
There's your Chris Jericho outlet. Go see him with Fozzy.
Mind you, Jericho's not paying us for this, so we can't say. So we don't want to say much for free.
But no, he's awesome. So. Man. He's a professional wrestler, a heavy metal singer. I mean, what else does anybody else want to be? I mean, that's awesome. Good for Chris.
Yeah.
Back to you, Chris Featherstone.
Chris Jericho's one of my favorites of all time. I've made that known
he's the
many,
man.
Many times.
Chris Jericho rules. If we get him on this
Kevin Nash,
it'll go forever.
Kevin Nash is, I like I said, I just didn't really care for him to be a member at all. But what I did not like the Royal Rumble, period. I didn't like the Royal Rumble. Batista was a lock to win. It was so predictable. It was basically, I was really wishing that the WWE would pull a swerve. Of course they didn't pull a swerve, because pulling swerves is almost non-existent in the WWE anymore. The only swerve that was pulled recently is when Randy Orton turned heel and cashed in his Money in the Bank at SummerSlam, and Triple H turned heel too. That was people liked that. That was a swerve being pulled. But now it's just so predictable. Who in the world? Batista got booed out of Pittsburgh. He even let his emotions get to him. He was a crybaby after a show. He was flipping people off, and he got heat backstage for that. He even got booed in Cleveland the next day. It didn't take him long for him to be not interesting and a heel already in the WWE, because at this point, people want Daniel Bryan to be the top guy, and they're kind of shoving Batista down our throats now. I've went to bat for Batista, but I don't know. With his new look, and I'm not buying it. I'm not really on the Batista train at all, honestly. And I'm just him, whether a face or a heel. I mean, heel Batista was really good. So maybe I'm sure that my interest would be revived when we see heel Batista. But I'm totally not sold at all. And him winning the Royal Rumble was just too predictable to me. And the other person, real quick, the other person I'm surprised that we didn't see was Rob Van Dam, because he has his 3 months on, 3 months off contract usually. Originally that was how the contract was supposed to be. We haven't seen him since, I believe, it was Night of Champions when he went against Alberto Del Rio. So it's been 4 months since we haven't seen him. And I was expecting him to come back, but he didn't. So overall, I mean, the Royal Rumble as a whole has to be one of the bottom five Royal Rumbles of history. There was no big, exciting returns. It was more of a tag team fest. Just real quick, before I let you share your thoughts, Derek, the Shield, the Brotherhood, the Real Americans, the Usos, We have, and then the Wyatt family, five tag team, and then so the Wyatt family. So that's five tag teams. A third of the people in the Royal Rumble, over a third, because there's three members of the Shield. So over a third of the people in the Royal Rumble were tag teams. That is absolutely terrible. There's no way in the world that you could just throw five tag teams in the Royal Rumble and expect for it to be exciting. So overall, this Royal Rumble, I would have to say, has to be in the bottom five.
Bottom five, bottom three, forget about it. Seriously, it was a horrible Royal Rumble match. It was not interesting at all. All the matches before the Royal Rumble match were sticks and stones before the actual Royal Rumble match. It was garbage. It was pathetic, and I can't say much. I'm at a loss for words. Come on, Chris, what do we say? I mean, Kevin Nash, I understand. It was good to see him, but, again, what's he going to do? Are we going to see him after this? Is this it? He just shows up once every 3 years. I mean, who cares? Who cares? I mean, it was a pathetic, horrible match. So it's time pending. Let's keep going with it.
Totally agree. I totally agree. It was such a horrible match. Next question for the chat room or the live tweet. The live tweet universe, Crave at Crave Wrestling. What
the highlight
wrestlers
of the match is Kofi
Nick
Kingston. I got to say that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. It
when
was
he
cool.
ran and jumped,
his spot
that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah, his spot was one of the best of the Royal Rumble. You're right.
Let's get
next
to the
question is
let's
what
go.
Wrestlers? What wrestler's nickname was Bam Bam? What wrestler's nickname was
Bigelow?
Bam Bam, and anyone who says Bam Bam Bigelow is wrong, because that was his name, and that was his wrestling name, not his nickname. So this person had a name, but his nickname was Bam Bam. Had a name, nickname was Bam Bam. All right, let's get to Raw. Cleveland, Ohio. Start off, someone just put in the chat room, just type Sting. Sting's name was Bam Bam. Sure thing, chat room. That was, I'm sure it was sarcastic, but that wasn't even that was a horrible choice to be sarcastic. All right, now we're going to get to Raw here. Triple H and Stephanie talk in the ring. They announce Randy Orton defending the title at Elimination Chamber. Daniel Bryan comes out to an amazing ovation, as expected. He wants to be in the title match in Elimination Chamber. The Shield appears, attacks Daniel Bryan. Sheamus comes out, and he gets a little bit of advantage and eventually gets outnumbered. And then, as I expected, number three is John Cena. He comes out. And, of course, I knew that was going to set up a six-man tag, which it did. However, I did like the stipulation that they put on it, which the winner, the three people who won would be in the Elimination Chamber. Good job, chat room. Terry Gordy is the correct answer. Terry Bam Bam Gordy, one of my favorites. There's a few people that I really, really like that is not necessarily in my top seven or so, but I was really big fans of. And two of those people are Terry Bam Bam Gordy and Dr. Death Steve Williams. I absolutely loved that team in the NWA when they were NWA champions. It was a ruggedness, just mean, brawling ruggedness about Dr. Death Steve Williams and Terry Bam Bam Gordy that was just amazing. Unfortunately, they both are no longer with us, but those are two of the, I mean, their build, they have similar build, and just their fighting style was just absolutely amazing. When Dr. Death was with the Varsity Club, and I was a big, big fan of Dr. Death Steve Williams. I really wish that they would have given him more love in the WCW, NWA. I really, really wish they would have. WWE, he didn't do much at all. But as far as the NWA, WCW is concerned, he had the U.S. Tag Team title, and he had the he's two-time world champion. He was he's two-time world tag team champion. He was the tag team champion with Mike Rotunda with the Varsity Club, and then of course with Terry Bam Bam Gore, like I just said. But his biggest claim to fame is when he was with Mid South UWF. He was the man.
He was the other Dr. Death.
Dr. Death. The other Dr. Death?
Oh, Dr. D.
Dr. Death. There wasn't another Dr. Death wrestler. There was a Dr.
I think wasn't it Dr. Death, David Schultz?
David Schultz? David Schultz. He beat up
John Stossel and punched him in the ears or something.
He was Stossel was the 2020 reporter, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was back in like 84, and he said something about wrestling and.
Yeah, it was like Stossel was like, did he bury like pro wrestling? And
he did. He tried to do a report about how it was fake, and then Dr. Death just punched him in the ears and knocked him out.
That's
for everybody. Wrestling is real.
And then when he punched him, he was like, he was asking him if it was fake. He was like, is that fake, you know?
Is that fake to you?
That was, right. is that fake? What about that? David Schultz, he was Dr. Death. Yeah, that was very, I have to see that again. I'm sure that there's.
It's on YouTube.
He's in the vault somewhere. Sure it's the YouTube. Wow, it was 30 years ago. That interview was 30 years ago. But, yeah, that was very funny, very interesting. But next we have the Real Americans defeating Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. I'm totally fine with this. I think the Real Americans should be one of the top heel tag teams. I actually think that they should be the top heel tag team. Because even the New Age Outlaws, they're supposed to be a heel tag team, but why in the world do they still come out and do the baby face, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, blah, blah, blah. That is a baby face gesture that they pander to the crowd, Cleveland, Ohio, are you ready, Cleveland rocks. They're doing baby face things, but they turned on CM Punk. And they're a heel tag team, so it's just really weird. They're trying to stay over by the Road Dogg chants, of course. But either you're a face or you're a heel. Like, I just don't understand why they're not making the distinction between the two. And I'm sure that the crowd is like, wait a minute, are we supposed to say these things? Or are we supposed to... like endorse what you're doing. It's just weird and it's a bit puzzling to me. I think the Real Americans should be the top heel tag team right now, and I think they should have won. If the Rhodes brothers did lose the tag team titles, I think it should have been to the Real Americans, because I think the Real Americans should have built toward having a feud with the Usos. WrestleMania should be the Usos' moment. They should win the tag team titles. They should have won it from the Real Americans, but somehow the New Age Outlaws decided to come and throw a monkey wrench in that idea. Yeah, they decided to throw a monkey wrench in that idea. I have absolutely no clue why they are continuing to
have the New Age Outlaws. I really wish they don't have them around for long. And having them in the Royal, having them at WrestleMania, defending the tag team titles at WrestleMania, I really don't think that's a good idea. Their flash of nostalgia, I really don't think is going to have a long. I really don't think it's going to be for a long time. Their flash of nostalgia is going to have a pretty short expiration date to me. I don't know. They probably will defend the tag team titles at WrestleMania, but I really don't think the New Age Outlaws should defend the titles. I don't think they should have the titles by WrestleMania. I really think they should have been a flash of nostalgia. Like I said before, I'm not really buying them being full-time again. I think the Real Americans should have been the tag team champions leading to WrestleMania. It should have been the Usos moment. But now we kind of get a monkey wrench in that idea.
Monkey wrench. You know, the New Age Outlaws, and everyone said the same thing about Goldust when he came back. Like, oh, he's like, you know, what are you going to do about Goldust, man? Goldust has done nothing but prove
everybody beyond belief.
And you know what? The New Age Outlaws will do the same thing. Let me interrupt for a second.
Goldust, people were supporting Goldust when he came back because Goldust was in
the
best shape.
And people should support the New Age Outlaws.
No. I mean, Billy Gunn's still in decent shape for 50. I mean, he's still in good shape for 50,
perfect.
I will say that.
The only problem is they can't cuss like they used to.
Well, that's not a problem.
That's part of their gimmick. But, no, New Age Outlaws, I support them. I think they're going to do – I hope they continue. I think it's great. I like to see them come back. It was a pleasant surprise, just like it was with Goldust. Until they prove me wrong, New Age Outlaws. Oh, you didn't know?
No. 2000 called and said that they want their tag team back.
Yeah, well, 2000
next
called
week.
And said Fandango.
No.
What's next, Chris?
2000 and Fandango in 2000. Fandango 14 years ago was in high school.
11 years old.
There's no way. Fandango in 2000, no way. I'm sure that he was probably watching the New Age Outlaws. And
as was I.
He was probably watching New Age Outlaws. He was decent. He's 32 now, so you know, he was in 2000, he was, you know,
What's his astrological sign? You know a lot about these guys.
Astrology, their astrological sign is a bit weird for me to know that, seeing how I am a journalist and I have to research to write articles. Since I write for the Wrestling Inc. and the Bleacher Report, to the most reputable sports sites in the nation, I have to know my stuff, and knowing that Johnny Curtis is 32 years old is just a fraction.
Follow
of
Chris Featherstone on Bleacher Report. He has awesome articles. Everybody should follow it. If you follow this show, you need to follow Chris on Bleacher Report.
And speaking of that, I want to give a special thank you for all the support that was that I received from my latest article on Bleacher Report, which was Daniel Bryan commenting about not being the Royal Rumble. The article receives over 100,000 reads and over 500 comments. So I really, really thank each and every one of you for reading that. I mean, as long as I've been doing journalism, it doesn't matter how long I've been doing it, I'm still humbled by support. That's just something that I will just never get tired of, never get an ego, never get big-headed about. I am humbled by support, and to have an article another article that has received over 100,000 reads
Thank you so much. I'm incredibly humbled and thankful that you would, that you always support me and Bleach Report and WrestlingInc.com as well. So
WrestlingInc.com. This guy is talking to everybody right now. Chris Featherstone is talking to you. He's got over 100,000 reads on Bleacher Report, WrestlingInc.com. This guy, you have to pay attention to him. He knows what's going on. And I'm just...
Indeed.
I'm here just to say that this guy, this is Pancakes and Power Slams, 347-84-452. I mean, this is where you need to be when it comes to professional wrestling. We're not joking around. This is it.
This is it. Tuesday, the new. I like that. I like that song. The new Tuesday Night Titans. I like that. All right. Next on. Well, let's go to a trivia question. The next trivia question is. Well, we got the Terry Bam Bam Gordy one right. The next trivia question is. It was. The next trivia question is, where was WrestleMania 1 held? Where was WrestleMania 1 held? Next, we have R-Truth defeating your boy Fandango, and you know, I continue to have no idea why you're holding on strong to Fandango. This guy is a mid-carder at best, and he'll win some, he'll lose more, and that's as far as you'll get with Fandango.
Oh, he's a great dancer. He's awesome. He's going to go far. That guy has charisma.
Honestly, how far is Fandango going to go?
He's not going to go that far. I mean, I'm realistic. You know, I think he's a great talent. I love the build they had before he got there, but since then it's been kind of, whatever. So, but he's going to be around. I mean, seriously. I would kill to have Fandango's career right now. I wouldn't kill.
You know what?
I would beat someone up really bad for it.
And here's the thing. I understand the figure of speech. But here's the thing. That's a valid point. That's a valid point. He's a known popular. He's not very popular, but he makes good money.
Yes,
He's a WWE star. And he has Summer Rae by his side, so that's, you know, that's enough said right there. But
he's pretty hot.
Fandango, and I will say that, you know, someone would envy Fandango's spot as much as he is just almost worthless in the WWE. But, you know,
Wow. He
does have a spot on Raw, and, you know, he does have matches. He wins some, like I said, he wins some, he loses more. But
after the show, we're going to have words outside the studio.
and I'm totally fine with that. I am a very impressive looking guy, and I have no problem with fighting for my defense of not liking Fandango.
Yeah.
But
you have a bad back.
But I will say, actually, no, my back is healing. I've been hitting the gym quite hard from my back surgery and getting better, feeling better, getting back into my
Titans
normal.
The Titans are still losers.
The Titans won't be losers now. Hopefully, with Munchak gone, I'm hoping that we'll have a better season. But at the same time, Fandango is going to continue to lose as well. So that's what Fandango has in common with last year's Tennessee Titans. They're both losers, unfortunately. Unfortunately for Tennessee, but Fandango, him and Tennessee are the same. Randy Orton has an in-ring promo interrupted by Batista, then Brock Lesnar. I liked this, actually. It kind of throws... I'm all about unpredictability. I love just levels of unpredictability, and it throws a level of unpredictability, because one thing I do not want to see at WrestleMania, I do not want to see Batista versus Randy Orton. And clearly, the WWE Universe does not want to see it at all either, because I'm telling you,
The Elimination Chamber is the last effort that the WWE has to salvage Batista winning the Royal Rumble and headlining WrestleMania. Batista versus WrestleMania would be a dump. It would be a dump in New Orleans, and it will not get over in New Orleans. The WWE Universe has proven that Batista is not a top babyface. In fact, he's more of a heel now. So a heel versus a sure heel, and Randy Orton, against a transitioning heel by the fans of Batista, people just aren't going to be interested in that match. And to headline WrestleMania 30, the biggest pay-per-view in Royal Rumble, the biggest pay-per-view in WWE history, that would just be a catastrophe, and the fans would definitely not want to see that.
No, they don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. Batista, I was never a big guy behind him. I'm still not. And him against Randy Orton, it'll be a throwaway. I mean, I don't see any. What's WrestleMania going to be this year? Prove me wrong, WWE. What is WrestleMania going to consist of? I mean, really. I'm not going to want to buy. I'm not going to want to spend $70, $80 to watch Randy Orton against Batista. I mean, there's just no way. And
no.
The Undertaker would have to fight somebody like King Kong or someone to make me want to buy it, so.
The Undertaker versus King Kong. Yeah. I'm sure that King Kong would come close to ending the streak. But we have Dolph Ziggler defeating The Miz in the Battle of Cleveland. Real quick, again, what was WrestleMania 1 held? Is the
Madison Square
question
Garden
on deck right now? Did I ask you, Derek? You
I said that the first time.
I must have
cut out. I mean, seriously, that's like...
No. You can't give... You do that every week. This is 96 episodes.
If they don't answer it after 10 seconds, they don't know it.
No.
It's been at least 5 minutes now.
Not after 10 seconds. No,
I mean,
who
doesn't know that? Who doesn't know? Okay, where's the White House located? I mean, that's as simple as the question is.
It's not... It is a simple question. I will say that, but
New York City.
You decided to blur it out again, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
there you go. There's Derek, our Pancakes and Power Sims correspondent, blurting it out.
Yeah.
Well, we did see the Battle of Cleveland. They both are originally from Cleveland, Ohio, The Miz and Dolph Ziggler. So, you know, it was an interesting match. It was a cool idea. I think they're both baby faces. They both got over. I'm totally okay with this and what we saw. And it was a good idea. The Miz is more. The Miz is more known for being from Cleveland. He's from Cleveland. They bill him from Cleveland. And then for some reason, this time they decide to bill Dolph Ziggler from Cleveland, but every other week he's from Hollywood, Florida. So it's interesting that they did that. But the match itself was good. I'm a big Dolph Ziggler fan. I'm still trying to hold on to The Miz. But I think The Miz should have won this one just because he's more notable for being a Cleveland guy than Dolph Ziggler is. I do like Dolph Ziggler more than The Miz, but I think The Miz should have won this one, though.
Yeah, well, the WWE is notorious. If this is your hometown, you're going to be absolutely embarrassed. They do that all the time when Jim Ross was there when they were in Oklahoma. So, yeah, I get it. It's kind of funny. And, yeah, I understand that how Ziggler, they billed him from Hollywood, Florida, but he's from Cleveland, Ohio. And the same thing with the Miz, but they celebrate that. But Jerry Lawler last night. He's from Cleveland. He's a huge Cleveland Browns fan. I read his autobiography, if anyone should ever read it. It's great. So it was a good time at Monday Night Raw last night. So I celebrate the Cleveland people.
Yeah. Well, Cleveland is his adopted hometown, is what he said he's from. He's a
yeah,
Tennessee guy.
No, Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee.
Yeah, he's
from
hey,
Memphis,
who's their
Tennessee.
New head coach?
The
Cleveland Browns
Ryan,
probably still have one. I don't know.
You said, what is that again?
The Cleveland Browns
said,
still don't have
the...
one. I think they hired
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah,
but,
that's true.
Yeah, but he's not really a head coach, so.
Yeah, Wisenhunt, Ken Wisenhunt is the coach.
No, good for you. Hey, you guys are going to go places next year.
Well, I mean, he was with Arizona for 5 years, so, you know, Arizona was, you know, they were okay.
Yeah, watch out for the Tennessee Oilers or Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee Oilers was 15 years ago, Derek. Come on now.
Warren Moon.
No wonder why you're stuck in the attitude era. You're still calling Tennessee the Oilers. That pretty much says it all right there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, Wisenhunt is, you know, that wouldn't have been my preferred team. You know, they didn't have the 5 years that he was with them. You know, the best year they had, I think, was 2009 when they were 10-6 and they won the NFC West. Well, they won the NFC West
I remember
in 2008
that.
As well. They won the NFC West in 2008 and 2009. But
yeah, they did. That
but
was
yeah,
great.
I mean, they were. It was. It wasn't. I wouldn't hire him.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
It was his 5 years were too inconsistent in Arizona for me to really say, oh yeah, Ken Wisenhunt, you know, that's the guy. So, but we'll see. Hopefully he'll have a better team. We just
hopefully,
our quarterbacks. Our quarterbacks are just suspect right now, and we need a better quarterback. But next we have the Usos defeating Ryback. Now I really hope that WWE keeps riding this wave of the Usos. The Usos are the hottest team. They're officially the hottest team in the WWE now. They were around the same as the Rhodes Brothers, but the Rhodes Brothers are starting to lose too much. They lost the titles. I still like the Rhodes Brothers, the Brotherhood, a lot, but the Usos are a red-hot tag team right now, and I really think that WWE should continue to do this. And so, great win by the Usos on Raw.
Great win by the Usos on Raw. And the Usos, I'm getting behind them. They've been around for a while now. How long they've been? When do they start?
4 years.
Probably been almost
4 years.
A year, yeah. So it's, I'm still not really too much sold on them. So it's, but it was exciting. Yeah.
I'm telling you, they're the hottest team right now. Next we have
Alberto
Rio defeating Kofi Kingston. The Usos?
The hottest team? I don't know. They're relevant. I mean, they're good.
Usos
they get the job done, but no, I'd still say that Team Rhodes is running strong.
No way. They lose too much. I like them a lot, but they lose too much and they lost the titles, and they're not really pushing them the way that they should. The Usos, their win-loss record have been pretty impressive the past few weeks.
Impressive, but they have. When was the last time they were champions?
They were never champions, but
exactly.
This is their opportunity. WrestleMania.
Yeah,
their
opportunity. I get
opportunity.
I give them credit for that. So okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
Next, we have Alberto Del Rio defeating Kofi Kingston. Decent match. It was actually a little bit better than expected, but. Who really thought that Kofi Kingston was going to win this match? Who thought that Kofi Kingston... Derek, are you asleep? Are you there?
Hello?
Who thought that Kofi Kingston was going to win this match?
Hmm.
Looks like we're having some technical difficulties with Derek. Derek, are you there? Kofi Kingston versus Alberto Del Rio. Alrighty. All right, next we have the Brotherhood defeating the New Age Outlaws by disqualification. Brock Lesnar interferes, all because of Brock Lesnar interfering. F5ing Cody Rhodes and Goldust and then beating them with a chair. I suppose that this is going to lead to another match between the Brotherhood and New Age Outlaws and probably at Elimination Chamber. I really hope that the Brotherhood beats New Age Outlaws, but I got a weird feeling that we'll see the beginning of the breakup for the Brotherhood at Elimination Chamber. And it makes sense. It was projected for them to break up and for them to compete against each other at WrestleMania. I understand it. It's going to be a good feud. However, they've been such a good tag team, and there was even a report recently that Goldust said that he did not want to break up from Cody Rhodes because it's one of those things, they gel so well together, and they've never teamed up together before they started teaming up last year, and they just gel so well together, and they have one of the best mashup theme songs in WWE history. So that means when they go, the song goes. So that's going to be a sad loss as well. So we'll see what happens with the Brotherhood. Like I said, the New Age Outlaws, they shouldn't last long at all. They were a nice old school nostalgia act, but as far as their longevity, not long at all. Funkadactyls and the Bella Twins defeats AJ Lee, Oksana, Alicia Fox, and Tamina Snuka. Naomi's starting to defeat AJ Lee a lot, and obviously this is leading to a match with Naomi and AJ. There is a rumor that Naomi was supposed to go against AJ at the Royal Rumble. It was more of a time-permitting match. So it looks like we're going to see this at the Elimination Chamber. Honestly, if they can stretch it out to WrestleMania, why not? I mean, why not have Naomi and AJ do it? I'm all for Naomi being the token diva of the division. I mean, you've got Total Divas coming back in March, so maybe they'll have some footage of Naomi at Elimination Chamber. But of course, the recording is already there, and it's already the season's already done. But they may have some new stuff just inserted in there somehow. But like I said, I'm all about stretching it all the way to WrestleMania if they can, because Naomi and AJ Lee is a good feud, and they just need to – I mean, congratulations to her being the longest-reigning Divas champion, but she really hasn't done much with the Divas division being champion. So maybe Naomi will win and have a fresh face on winning and have that baby face chasing the title, and I'm all for it.
Hey, you're all for it. Hey, this is Derek back from Pancakes and Power Slam. Sorry, we're having some kind of weird winter storm. Usually I'm in the studio with Chris Featherstone, but this time I'm on location, actually, just trying to get some new leads here. The Divas Championship is, it's kind of a joke. I've said that for so long now, for crying out. AJ Lee defeated, yeah, she was beaten in a tag team match. But the Divas doesn't really – what do you think about the Divas division? Honestly, Chris Featherstone, the Divas division, is that the time when you're watching Monday Night Raw and you get up to get yourself a bowl of cereal
bathroom
or
break.
Bathroom break or go see what's going on outside.
I try to hold on, man. I kind of have to watch it. I do my best in trying to hold on to it. I'm a big Oksana fan, so she was in the match, and so I'm cool. So that was my moment of watching the match. I'm a big fan of Oksana, so I don't know. Somehow she creeped up on me, and she's like, just about my favorite diva. She's like my favorite diva now, Oksana. I have no idea. But, yeah, she just somehow just silently became my favorite diva. And like I said before in the previous show, when she was – it was another eight-diva tag match, and she was – I think she slammed someone. I think it was one of the Bellas. And she's like, I know I'm the best. And I think with her Lithuanian accent saying that, it was just absolutely hilarious to me. I have no idea why, but it was absolutely hilarious to me. And every time I see her, I'm just waiting for her to say that again. That should be like her go-to phrase when she slams someone or does something like, Luke Harper does this, yeah. That's catchy. I like that. And Oksana should have her, I know I'm the best. She should even market it. She should have a T-shirt saying, I know I'm the best. Big fan of Oksana. We were talking about the Divas too much for too long, but at the same time, Naomi should win the title, and Oksana should get a push. There you go. Jake Roberts announced as the newest inductee of the Hall of Fame, long overdue. I tell you what, this class, the 2014 class, this may be one of the best Hall of Fame classes that we have ever that we've ever seen so far. The Ultimate Warrior and Jake the Snake Roberts, those are two wrestlers that people have talked about for a number of years being in the Hall of Fame, and so far they're in a Hall of Fame. They're in the same Hall of Fame. So this may be one of the best classes that we've ever seen.
Really? Yeah, of course. For crying out loud! I mean, Jake the Snake Roberts. Period. And I mean, he looks great for his legend, Jake Snake Roberts, and everyone knows about his downfall for the last 10, 15 years. He looked great coming out on Raw a couple nights ago, and he's definitely, Jake the Snake Roberts belongs in the WWE Hall of Fame. Exact perfectly. Even more than the Ultimate Warrior belongs in there. So it's, I'm a definite, that's awesome. It's exciting. Somebody like me that watched Jake the Snake Roberts back in the day with Damian, Snake Pit, it's great. Jake Snake!
Totally. I absolutely Dugan. Agree. I think Dugan was a member of the 2011 Hall of Fame. I think 2013 was probably as far as together, the group together, that was really good. I think probably that was one of the best ones. 2009 was good too, minus Coco Beware. But Bill Watts, Ricky Steamboat, Stone Cold Steve Austin, that was a really good year too, as far as the class together. I think that was really good. But as far as, I think 2013 was probably the best class together, I would say. 2006 was good too, with minus William Refrigerator Perry, with Tony Atlas, Vern Gagne, Sherry Martel, Mean Gene Oakland, Eddie Guerrero, and of course it was headlined by Bret the Hitman Hart. So 2005 was good too. It was headlined by Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, Cab Horde, Bob Orton, Jimmy Hart, Paul Orndorff, Nikolai Volkoff, and the Iron Sheik. That was pretty good too. But 2013 was probably the most star-studded, most packed Rumble as far as champions are concerned. Booker T was a world champion. Bob Backlund was a world champion. Bruno Sammartino was world champion. Mick Foley was world champion. So all of the minus Donald Trump, because he was on the celebrity wing, but all the inductees of the 2013 Hall of Fame, including Trish Stratus, were all world champions. So that was a first, and I think that that was a great idea, because 2012 was almost like that, but Edge was a world champ in WWE, Yokozuna was a world champ in WWE, but Ron Simmons was a WCW world champ, and then Mil Máscaras, of course, was the man in Mexico. So, and let's get through this final part real quick. Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, and John Cena defeats the Shield by disqualification because of their Wyatt family interfering. I really don't have much to say about this, honestly. We'll see more of the Wyatt family interrupting John Cena's matches. I just don't care. I'm not interested, and I've said that before. There's not much to say about my disinterest more than what I have said. And like I said, I really think it's going to go into WrestleMania, and it would just be a travesty to have the biggest pay-per-view of the year have John Cena versus Bray Wyatt in it.
It's not going to happen. The WWE will not let that happen. I have faith in that. I mean, really, you cannot build a WrestleMania around that. Seriously, you cannot. Believe what you want.
I don't know. It looks like we're going to get Batista Orton. It looks like we're going to get John Cena and Bray Wyatt. It's even rumored.
I'll sit this one out.
It's even rumored that Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. Now, that is just going to be absolutely horrible. They had they wrestled in 28. That was the 18-second match when Sheamus defeated Daniel Bryan to get the world championship.
Yeah.
And then in 2007, they were supposed to compete against each other at WrestleMania for the U.S. title, but they ended up getting bumped. They ended up getting bumped to the dark match before the Royal Rumble that wasn't televised. And even before that, and then the dark match turned into a lumberjack match. It was just so. Essentially, they wrestled two WrestleMania straight, and this will be the third WrestleMania competing against each other. So, I'm not interested. This WrestleMania 30 so far, on what's penciled in, this is supposed to be the biggest pay-per-view of all time. WWE. This has the opportunity to be one of the worst pay-per-views in WrestleMania's in WWE history. So let's hope that we don't see that. All right, as far as Impact Wrestling and WWE SmackDown, like I said before, SmackDown real quick was leading to the Royal Rumble, so there's not much to say about that. Miz defeating Brodus Clay was really funny because Bad News Beard just absolutely trashed the match. It was funny, but I'm just wondering why WWE would allow that to happen. For those who did not watch SmackDown last Friday, watch it on WWE's YouTube channel. Bad News Beard, I'm a fan of Wade Barrett. I didn't like the Bad News Beard character, but it's starting to slowly come around to me. I'm actually starting to like the Bad News. I'm afraid I got some bad news. I'm starting to like the Bad News Bear character. But for him to just absolutely trash The Miz and Brodus Clay, I mean, he was talking during the match. It was so embarrassing. I just wonder why they would book something like that. And, you know, it was the main one was the Usos, Cody and Goldust, and Biggie Langston versus the Shield and New Age LLC to a no contest. Good match. Of course, it led to a no contest. So, good SmackDown leading into Raw. And Impact Wrestling, I have my Impact Wrestling review on WrestlingInc.com as I do every week. So, check that out. And basically, Magnus defeats Sting. So Sting's contract is up in TNA. So that has spread all the rumors of Sting possibly becoming a new person, a new member of the WWE roster. So that would be amazing if we see that. I think that, yeah, you never say never, WWE. Sting, and plus they were talking about how they want Sting. They usually, when they do WCW stuff in the WWE, they usually have Ric Flair or DDP be the faces of WCW, even Booker T. But they were saying that they want a fresher face, and Sting is considered to be the face of the WCW, which I totally agree with. And so we'll see Sting in the WWE before it's all over with. And he definitely will be inducted into the Hall of Fame, not this year. So I would imagine not this year. You never know, though. If they strike a deal before long, I'm sure it's a really good chance that they may. So that would be great. I don't want to see Sting and Taker. I just don't want to see it because Sting will lose. But
yay.
I would absolutely love to see Sting versus to see Sting in the WWE, period. All right, Flavor of the Week, ladies and gentlemen, WrestleMania 1, where it all started. Madison Square Garden, March the 31st, 1985, New York City, New York. The very first pay-per-view that Vince McMahon put a lot into, and it was just sink or swim, and it was successful. So he not only swam, he just sailed. 30 years later, we are at WrestleMania 30, but WrestleMania 1 is where it all started. We got Tito Santana defeating the Executioner in the first match of WrestleMania history. King Kong Bundy defeating Special Delivery Jones in 24 seconds. Ricky Steamboat defeating Matt Bourne. We talked about David San Martino and Brutus Beefcake. It was a double disqualification. JYD defeating Greg Valentine by countout for the Intercontinental Championship. I remember watching that match. I was hoping that Junkyard Dog won, but for the Intercontinental title, because he, for some reason, WWE didn't decide to put a title on him, and he was one of the most popular people in the Mid-South and in Southern territories. Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik defeated the U.S. Express to win the tag team championship. And of course, who can forget the $15,000 body slam challenge? Andre the Giant, a babyface Andre the Giant, defeating Big John Studd and then throwing the money out to the crowd and Bobby Heenan getting upset by that happening. Wendy Richter defeated Leilani Kai to win the Women's Championship. And then Hulk Hogan and Mr. T with Jimmy Snuka defeated Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff with Cowboy Bob Orton, Muhammad Ali, and Pat Patterson being the special guest referees in that match. There you go, WrestleMania 1.
WrestleMania 1 was phenomenal. I mean, it was with the Rolling Stones as the rock and roll, Gino. And it was great. It introduced the WWE to the masses, made rock and wrestling. It was the beginning of Hulk Hogan as far as being a household name. So Vince McMahon really struck gold with this. It happened in Madison Square Garden, 1985. Andre the Giant versus Big John Studd. Was it 15,000? I'm thinking it was 25,000.
15,000.
I'm thinking it was 25,000.
15,000.
But anyway, that's a different story. We'll settle it outside.
Nope.
But anyway,
$15,000
body
slam match.
Really?
$15,000. Yep.
$15,000. It was awesome. Yeah, Gord,
all right, real
Michael
quick,
Wout.
Let's go to real quick. Let's go to WrestleMania 2. We only got a couple minutes here. Paul Orndorff defeating the Magnificent Morocco. Well, actually, it was a double count out. They fought to a double count out at the point in time. Orndorff turned babyface, leading into between the two WrestleManias, Paul North turned babyface. Randy Savage defeated George the Animal Steel to retain the Intercontinental Championship, or as Jesse Ventura would call George the Animal Steel, Animal Steel. Jake Roberts defeats George Wells in a quick match. Mr. T defeats Roddy Piper by disqualification in a boxing match. Again, that was one of those, it was one of those celebrity crossovers. And, of course, you know, for those who remember, it was in three cities. It was in Uniondale, Rosemont, or quote-unquote Chicago, and Los Angeles. So New York, Chicago, Los Angeles from – So, and then that was the four matches from the Nassau Coliseum, and then the Rosemont Horizon had Fabulous Moolah defeating Velvet McIntyre, Corporal Kirshner defeating Nikolai Volkoff in a flag match, Andre the Giant defeating, Bret Hart is who he lamented last, but he won a 20-man battle royal, and then the British Bulldogs defeated the Dream Team to win the WWE Tag Team Championship. And then, of course, from L.A., Ricky Steamboat defeats Hercules, Adrian Adonis defeats Uncle Elmer, Terry and Haas Funk with Jimmy Hart defeats JYD and Tito Santana, and then Hulk Hogan defeated King Kong Bundy for the WWE to retain the WWE Championship. The three-city idea was creative, but I didn't think it went over too well. I think WrestleMania 1's card was better than 2's. The card wasn't that good to me. I think 1's and 2's card wasn't very good. I think WrestleMania 3 is what really put them on the map. But they decided to do something different, WrestleMania 2. It really didn't work for me that much, but at least it was creative.
It was creative. I'll give it to them. So, yeah, WrestleMania 3 put them on the map. WrestleMania 2, three different cities. They had a lot of celebrities, though. Every city they had, like, different celebrities from that era. So we'll give them that with the glitz and glamour. But other than that, the wrestling was subpar.
It was. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for continuing to support Pancakes and Power Slams. We are 4 weeks away from our 100th episode. Wow, wow, wow. Everybody continuing to support us. We get support and we get promotional sponsorship from wearewrestling.net and WrestleRumble.com and, of course, Bleacher Report and WrestlingInc.com. Email Crave Wrestling for your Flavor of the Week episodes, for your Flavor of the Week ideas. Unfortunately, we won't get to the Flavor of the Week ideas until after WrestleMania seasons, because for the next following couple months, we'll be talking about every WrestleMania. We'll have some fun continuing to do that. And follow Crave Wrestling, at Crave Wrestling. Check out my articles on the Bleacher Report. And, of course, wrestling.com, like I said before. And just continue to follow Crave Wrestling and on Facebook. Fun trivia. Who does not like trivia? Wrestling trivia is so fun. There's tons and tons and thousands of questions of wrestling trivia that you can never run out of. So continue to support us. 96 episodes down. Thank you so much for continuing to support Pancakes and Power Slams. We are so humbled and so thankful that you have supported us for 96 episodes. And our hope here at Crave Wrestling is to have fun for more, and to have fun for 96 plus more. So thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. And until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.